Hello and welcome to the Thought Leader Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and today we're talking about the topic of mental health with Autumn Casiglia, a master's level psychologist, along with someone who works on the pastoral care team here at the district. As we record this podcast, we're in a weird time, as you well know. It's a time we've never seen before. Many of us are preparing to get back to normal because of the coronavirus, but that new normal will be filled with uncertainty and very likely much different from what we knew it. We hope to help you deal with some of the issues that may arise in your churches and also offer some resources that you can use. Autumn, why don't we begin? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you help here in the district.
Yeah, I am on the pastoral care committee and I help with vetting counselors in the area so that pastors and ministers in the churches can see counselors that they know have been kind of interviewed by the district and they know they're ready to handle some of the issues that pastors and ministers face.
And I know you're busy right now. What kinds of things in regards to mental health are you seeing out there right now?
Well, for the first couple weeks, everybody stopped coming. So it was real quiet for 2 weeks. And then I got many calls. And usually it's the clients returning that have mental health issues and are realizing this is going to continue going on. So depression and anxiety, which was already happening, but it's heightened because either they're single and they're sheltering in place and they are lonely. Basically, you know, the biggest thing I'm seeing is loneliness. And when you want to drive somebody crazy, you put them in solitary confinement, right? So this is not ideal for mental health issues. So we have to get really creative. And we actually, as ministers, get to create content and get out there and be on Zoom meetings and try to help with that loneliness. And ministers get to do that. So,
So Zoom meetings, a lot of things that many churches are doing right now, these are very, very good things, some things that we need to continue.
Yeah, so I also do lead the women's ministry at Faith. So on the same time, I'm seeing things in the church and I'm seeing things in my counseling practice. And what I'm seeing is the church is meeting those needs very well, usually, if they have the resources to get online, because they do need connection with people. That's the biggest thing that people need. And so for the church to meet that need, it's another front line. So we talk about our healthcare professionals being on the front line. Our ministers and our counselors and our church workers are on the front line too, meeting the mental health needs and the spiritual needs.
This is going to sound maybe a blanket statement of one size fits all, and I know that's not the case. What do pastors need to know about talking with people who are going through mental health issues?
I think the first thing to know is like we are all facing this situation and it feels like we're in it together. And so we're tempted to say things like we're in this together, but that actually isn't completely true because we all have a different situation. So first and foremost, we should be curious and then we should be grateful for the blessings we have because most of us are very blessed. But maybe the people we're talking with are going through bigger struggles than we know. So we should first and foremost come to the conversation with a curiosity about how they are doing. However, when we ask, how are you doing? They're going to be tempted to either think, don't you get it? We're facing a global crisis. I'm doing very poorly. If they're in a crisis state and they're in fight or flight, that question comes off as unfeeling. So we do have to do a lot of listening first and foremost to find out where each person we're talking with is coming from. So how can I help you is a good way to start a conversation instead of how are you doing? But how can I be of help is a humble. It sounds a little bit humble for them to hear, like, you want to help. I'm joining you in this, but also we have no idea. I'm curious. What is your situation? It gets past that fight or flight reaction.
There are so many different things. I mean, you talked about loneliness being one of the key ones. Loss of loved ones, an unusual grieving process, loss of jobs, what that could mean as far as addiction and mental health goes as well. I mean, so many different layers that are put on top of this pandemic right now. And so many things that pastors are going to see with members in their churches.
Yeah. I mean, what's happening is basically there's two things that get hit, our love and our trust. So our sense of identity is hit, our sense of who we are is hit, and our sense of safety is hit. And so you see people respond in this way where they feel unsafe and unloved, and they're on shaky ground, right? And all of us feel that on some level, from extreme to lesser. And when we do that, we start coping negatively. And negatively means like we blame. So you're going to see some people respond in anger and sarcasm, and some people respond in shame. So they just go to depression and they go to self-doubt. And then some try to control, and they're trying to get their safety back. So this is the hoarding toilet paper, you know? And then you have some people trying to escape, and this is where our addictions come in. So the negative coping skills, and it's important to kind of understand that if you see that, then you see the person is struggling to cope and they're blaming. And so a lot of times pastors see these people that are responding with anger to them, like, you should be doing more to help me. And really just understanding that they're in a crisis state and they're struggling. They probably were already struggling before this pandemic, and now they're really struggling. So they don't have those resources to pull from.
And as we start to open up churches, open up different businesses, there's going to be a fear versus faith, as one pastor talked about. You know, what's that relationship going to be like? And it's going to be different for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because some people can cope and use their coping skills, and some people already didn't have those resources. And so trying to help them, but also some people have gone through crisis. So in our family situation, we already had a chronic illness. So I have Lyme disease. My son has Lyme. So you already have a situation where we've had medical trauma. And so then you're faced with the possibility of more medical trauma. And so we have specific situations where we're at a higher risk. So my response to coming back to church might be different from somebody else's response. And it doesn't really have to do with my faith. It has to do with my situation, right? And so for us to make something a spiritual issue, we have to be careful with that. We have to look at everyone's personal situation, their age bracket, their health already, and then they're going to respond differently. So as pastors and church leaders, we can respond in the way that what we're here for you. We're going to give you many options. So that's where we keep our online services open, or we keep our Zoom meetings open. So there's still a place for people that are shut in and have to shelter in place for a little bit longer till they can be confident. Or maybe they just have mental health issues where they're going to be tending towards anxiety anyways. And they're going to need a little more time to feel secure. And then we want to give them a lot of assurances of what we're doing. Okay, so we're giving you 6 feet in between seats, and this is how we're handling this, and we're wiping everything down, and that's why we're giving more space in between our services and these types of things. And it does require more from us, but to show that we love them, that's worth it. To show that we care and we're giving that level of care, and we're for them. I think that's primary.
How important will, say, a small group or being able to get in a small group with somebody who might be going through something similar? How important is that, especially in this time when you talk about, you know, the loneliness is so huge?
Yeah. So Zoom meetings or any type of online meeting, like grief groups, we have an anxiety group and a grief group. I think those are key, like huddling around a topic that is similar is very important to trying to cope with whatever that is mental health wise, but also just Bible study, just providing those Bible studies online and being able to assist people in growing in their faith right now, because faith is something that we can definitely pull from. When we feel loved and we feel safe, then we can respond with healthy coping skills, with connection, transparency, vulnerability, forgiveness, all these things. And really our faith relationship with God, when we feel unsafe, how important is it to know ultimately our eternal security is safe, right? That's where the peace kind of gives that stability. But it doesn't mean we're immune to still feeling unsafe. You know, if I, at the beginning of COVID have, you know, the ability to talk with my friends and go out in public, but now I'm a single woman, say, and I'm stuck in my house and I have no interaction, that's a huge loss For me, I have a family at home. It's not as big of a loss. If I'm an elderly person and I'm going to see my grandkids, you know, two or three times a week, and all of a sudden now I can't and I'm a widow, that's a huge loss. So as a church, for us to be able to respond to different people with different needs, and small groups is key. And I think I've now run a bunch of Zooms. A large group on a Zoom, not so great. But if you can break out into small groups, I mean, I really went through Zoom burnout last week. I was like, but now we're doing small groups, which is like six or less. And it's so much better. So much better.
Got to point out that we've got a mental health case manager at the district in Christy Hansard. You can find that on our website at michigandistrict.org. What are some of the other resources that are available to pastors and church workers that are out there?
Well, right now there is so much offered for free, which to me is so encouraging. When I go online and I go on websites for like my kids' schools even, they're offering free resources. So you can watch seminars online, and as a pastor, that's wonderful to just do that continuing education. So just be looking like National Institute of Mental Health, American Association of Christian Counselors, and pretty much all the major colleges. I know Pepperdine is offering free resources. I'm sure Concordia is starting to do the same thing. So I would look for those free resources, and even churches, other church websites. But definitely, there's free resources like screening tools if you feel like you need that for somebody who might be depressed. But really, I think referring somebody to a counselor is your best bet. And right now, my advice for referring to a counselor is to give a referral sheet and let them go through that sheet, because people are booked solid. And so what you have, if you give them one name, then they call you back. I couldn't get in. And then you're calling and you're talking over and over again. So I would give a referral sheet out. That's where we're at right now.
I was talking with one pastor, and he said, as things start to get opened up, there's going to be so many emotions, and it's going to kind of be overwhelming as he gets back in. He's going to want to run up and hug everyone. He's going to want to greet everybody he can. And obviously that's not going to be the best reaction. How do you think some of the pastors and church workers, how do you help them bottle up some of the emotions right now? Because it is definitely going to be an emotional time that we've maybe never seen before.
Yeah. I think even before this, some of the people I know preferred an elbow, you know, touching elbows. And now that's just going to be pretty much everyone is going to want to do the whole kick each other's foot or elbow or air high five. I think there's going to be a lot of air hugging going on. I think we just have to be sensitive to everybody's different responses and readiness. I have some people that I know that are telling me, I'm just so tired of this and I'm going to run up and hug everybody. I think that might be being a little bit insensitive to where some people are. So we as the leaders kind of have to set the stage of saying, you know, I'm here for an air hug, and setting that and saying, until we know we're kind of in a better zone, that we have to wait a little bit. Now there's going to be some people that are like, I want a hug, pastor. And that's just your discretion. But I think that the way to start it is, you know, the air hugs.
Mm-hmm. Autumn, well, thank you so much. Great advice. We really appreciate it. Is there anything you want to leave pastors and church workers with right now that might be some good advice and some good resources that they could use as we head into this uncertain time?
I think the most important thing is to know that people are in crisis. All of us are on some level. We are working from a place of fight or flight instead of our frontal cortex. And so we just want to make sure that we're leading with a calming voice, and that's brain research, and just a calming, slow tone. And joining them sounds more like, how can I help versus how are you? Because you're going to get if somebody's in crisis, usually how are you? Even though that's your intuitive way of trying to join them, they tend to resist that.
Yeah, you almost get that flippant, I'm fine, how about you? You
know? Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. Autumn, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time, appreciate your insight. We also want to remind those folks listening, if you need help or know someone who does, go check out the michigandistrict.org/mentalhealth. Christy Hansard, she's the district mental health case manager. You can also email her at churchworkercare@michigandistrict.org. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.